You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Alan Gray. More than 50 years of long-term investing, Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. 2024 certainly was that great election year. More than 50% of the world's GDP went to the polls, and we saw lots of changes in the way of leadership changes. Certain political parties coming back, some political parties having surprise candidates. And all in all, through all of that, markets somehow managed to hold their ground and hold steady. But what does 2025 look like? What does 2025 hold for investors? I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Alan Gray, Rory Kutiska-Jacobs, to take a look at this and see if we can make sense of it. Good evening, Rory. Lovely to catch up with you, especially this early in the new year. Last year was quite an interesting year, with markets outperforming in certain respects and not outperforming if you compare them to other markets. I mean, the JSE did about 13% in terms of the all share, but that was considered underperformance by comparative standards when you look at some of the global peers. How did you reflect on the 2024 year that was?
Good evening, Jimmy. I mean, that's a great question. I think what really stood out for me was, I guess, two things from a market perspective. The first one is how the US just continues to massively outperform almost all other markets. So that's been pretty much the story of the last 5 years, where the US consistently outperforms. And if you look at last year, it was no different. The S&P, I think, was up just under 25% in dollars and about 29% in rands. And even within that, if you look at the technology bucket, I mean, the Mag 7 did incredibly well. And then the other thing that really stood out for me, I mean, you highlighted overall South Africa did around 13%. But what was interesting is there was quite a divergence in individual returns. So if you looked at kind of the traditional SA Inc. businesses, so the businesses very much focused on the South African economy, and you rewind the clock to kind of the start of 2024, huge uncertainty around the election. I think people were quite, and we were still experiencing quite significant levels of load shedding at the start of 2024. I think with the benefit of hindsight, people were probably overly pessimistic on SA. We had the election, we had the formation of the GNU, and we've seen a rapid improvement in sentiment, and you saw it in a number of the names. So overall, the JSE did around 13%. But if you look at individual kind of sectors, I mean, the domestic clothing sector, you had companies like Truers up 40-odd%. I think Pepkor and Fashini both up north of 50%. And Mr. Price was up almost 100%, including dividends. And then the banks were all did kind of very healthy double-digit returns. And you saw Nedbank up 40-odd%, Capitec up 50-odd%. And you can go through the list. I mean, if you look at some of the food producers, so AVI and Tiger Brands both had gains north of 40%. Premier, which I listed not too recently ago, that was up over 100%. Premier, funny enough, struggled to list at the time when they listed. And now suddenly with an improvement in sentiment, you know, it's amazing how quickly these things change.
Rory, some of the stocks were not so fortunate. I mean, you mentioned some of the really good winners and some of the really good standout businesses, but I also think about some of the guys that had a torrid time. I mean, the likes of Sasol experiencing probably one of their worst years in recent memory. And that's just one example. How do you reflect on some of the underperformers and perhaps some of the factors that led to that?
So I guess I've given you the one half of the story. And then if you say, well, how do you square that with 13% overall? It's because, by and large, the mining companies massively underperformed. And so you've highlighted Sasol, but, I mean, the likes of Glencore, BHP, Anglo American all did relatively poorly in rands. Most of the platinum group metal businesses were down 20-30% in rands. And a lot of that is driven by what's happened in China and are related to kind of commodity demand. So if you think over the last 15-20 years, China's economy has very much been driven by an infrastructure-led investment growth, and they're struggling to transition to consumer-led growth. And that slowdown on the infrastructure side has had a knock-on impact on commodity prices, which then reflects in the performance of the mining stocks. And then the other bucket that I think did relatively poorly from a JSE perspective were the multinationals that happened to be listed on the JSE, but by and large are global businesses. So the likes of Mondi had a very poor year with paper and packaging papers prices continuing to be depressed, particularly in Europe. And then the other kind of standout loser, for lack of a better term, has probably been AB InBev. So if you think you rewind the clock to kind of 2016, when AB InBev acquired SABMiller and then listed on the JSE, it's been kind of one-way traffic since, with the share prices just persistently underperformed the JSE. But funnily enough, we think everything has a price. So we think now the kind of that level of despondency and negative sentiment is more than reflected in some of those multinational prices. So we actually are buying the likes of Mondi and SAB or AB InBev.
Rory, speaking of the sentiment, how does the sentiment look now, January 2025 versus January 2024? I know when I started looking at the markets, we were back in studio quite early in the year, and I thought we'd have a strong start to January. The first week of January was absolutely manic. We were down about 2% on the top 40. The second week hasn't started off too well in terms of full trading weeks. But how is the sentiment now versus this time last year?
I mean, so I think sentiment now versus this time last year is still significantly better. But I think sentiment probably peaked around September, October. And we saw some weakness in December. And then we've seen continued heightened levels of kind of uncertainty and weakness in the first 2 weeks. And it continues to be extremely volatile. So it almost feels like every time there's a new data point out of the US, depending on how the market interprets it positively or negatively, you can see 2-4% movements. Both offshore and domestically. But if I just focus on the JSE, so kind of what's our lay of the land? I mean, I must highlight that we're far from kind of macro political specialists. We focus very much on bottom-up fundamental analysis. And when we look at the basket of equities available, we think in particular now a handful of the SA Inc. companies that looked very cheap last year are now pricing in quite rosy expectations over the next 3 or 4 years within SA. And we think that's far from a certain outcome. And so we've been actively kind of reducing our SA Inc. exposure and at the margin increasing exposure to the underperformers from last year, the likes of Mondi and AB InBev, as I mentioned.
Rory, speaking of the exposure side of things, what are some of the risks you're seeing going into 2025? Obviously, there's a lot that's still up in the air. There's a lot that's been settled with the elections of 2024. But what are some of the risks that have you concerned on from a portfolio level? And how is that affecting kind of how you're looking at your investment strategy for this year?
So I guess if I put it into kind of two buckets, so globally, the big risk we're worried about is really kind of this polarization geopolitically, where you've seen kind of the West and the East divide. But then even within countries, if you look at a number of the developed markets, there's a polarization of politics where the moderate middle seems to have completely disappeared. And so that's kind of the big risk we're worried about in terms of how populist policies may play out and how those may impact the way various economies and countries work with each other. And so Africa is very much kind of torn in or stuck in the middle in the sense that we're still very reliant on the US for a number of our agricultural commodities and exports, but we're equally as reliant on China for hard commodity exports. And then domestically, I mean, the big risks are really the kind of the risks we've worried about in SA for some time, and I don't think they've gone away. So temporarily, you know, load shedding has gone away and it looks like Eskom has fixed a lot of the issues, but you know, if I think over the last kind of 16 years, we've had multiple periods where we had load shedding and then it disappeared for 2-3 years only to reemerge a couple of years later. So the first one we're worried about is the ongoing kind of performance of our parastatals. And we have seen some kind of positive lights there, but there's still a lot of water to flow. And then I think the other big issues we're worried about from a South African perspective is, you know, we continue to run the primary deficit. Our debt to GDP is growing quite rapidly. When last I looked, it was around 75%. You know, at current interest rates, just north of 20% of total government revenue is going to be spent on just servicing the debt. It's not even repaying the debt or utilizing those funds to kind of invest in the economy. We've still got chronic unemployment, and I don't think our regulatory policies are very conducive to creating jobs and growing jobs. I know the education stats came out yesterday and people were excited about them. I still think the number of kids that fail to get to matric in South Africa is a massive concern. And late last year, there was a study that came out that compared grade 5 South Africans with grade 4s from a number of other countries, and we scored basically last. So education remains a major concern. And then if you look at what's happened at a number of the municipalities, you know, there's ongoing municipal failure. So I think these are the structural issues South Africa is faced with, not to say they're all insurmountable, but I think you have to think about those when you're looking at what's priced into the equities in SA. And so if I compare 2025 with 2024, I think at the start of 2024, a lot of those risks were more than priced into the domestic names, whereas today there's a significant amount of improvement in some of those risks priced in, and it's not obvious to us that those things suddenly dramatically get better. We have yet to see the GNU be properly tested.
There's lots to consider when looking at your 2025 strategy and your plans, but most importantly, it's important to have a clear idea of how it is that you want to approach the year from an investing standpoint, especially if it is returns you are seeking. I think we'll leave the conversation there. Rory, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Rory Kutiska-Jacobson, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray. The segment was brought to you by Allan Gray. More than 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.